Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. He learned to crawl in a corral and he was breaking horses for pay before he became a teenager. The life of rodeo cowboy Casey Tibbs unfolds like myth or legend. Now you can see filmmaker Justin Kaler's candid documentary, Floating Horses, The Life of Casey Tibbs, on SDPB for its broadcast premiere. Tune in on Monday, February 11th at 9 p.m. Central, 8 Mountain. The film dives into archival footage of Tibbs and features in-depth interviews with many of the rodeo cowboy's closest connections. It also features cinematic reenactment scenes with bronc rider Cole Elsher. And we're joined on the phone now by Justin Kaler and Cole Elsher. Justin, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Cole, thanks for being here too.
Yeah, great to be on the air with you.
Justin, I'm going to start with you, and I want to hear a little bit about how this story unfolded. Documentaries always have interesting backstories. How long did it take you from the time that you thought, I want to do this, to the time when you were able to see it, you know, on the big screen at a film festival circuit or on TV?
Well, it was probably around 3.5 years from kind of conception to completion. You know, if you tack it all together with conception to even now, you know, getting it onto PBS, you know, we're approaching over 4 years. So it's been a long journey, I guess, in the sense of years, but it's also gone by in a blink of an eye. It was truly an honor to dive into his life and all the twists and turns that it took, and just the privilege of learning his story, meeting the people he knew, and creating those friendships is very memorable.
So, Justin, we've talked about Casey Tibbs on this show because it's South Dakota Public Broadcasting, so of course we have. And one of the things I've always found when I have guests is that it's almost hard for them to articulate who he was as a person. They almost get tongue-tied with just, you know, how amazing he was, or, you know, it becomes like almost a myth. And in your show, you really got people to open up about, and you can see that, you capture that in the, you know, the glow on their faces when they talk about him. It's almost like they have no words for Casey Tibbs, but yet you also get them to open up about really, you know, great stories and in-depth experiences and who he was as a person. Tell me how you kind of built, you know, the people there. You know, Stephen Ford is in this movie, the actor Charlie Daniels is in this movie. You talk to people who were in close relationships with him. Tell me about your interviewing process.
Well, for me, it starts with research. I take a lot of pride in that. And luckily, there was a lot of books out there. There was, you know, newspaper articles. I could really dive into his life because it was chronicled throughout his life. So I really wanted to step up the plate, I guess, if you will, with the people I was going to interview and really show them that not only I knew his story, I guess, if you want to say face value, but I looked deeper and beyond that. I always tried to surprise my interview subjects with something, even if it was one thing or just two things, that sort of caught them off guard, like either I didn't know that or how the heck did you know that?
Right.
And so I take a lot of pride in that, and it sort of depends on the subject matter. You know, some subjects, there isn't a lot of information, but in his case, there was. So for me, research, being prepared so that they knew that I just wasn't, you know, yeehaw, I'm making a movie, that I was really taking it seriously and looking at all facets of his life, I think was important. And then just, you know, sort of nurturing those relationships with the people, you know, making phone calls, talking to them a little bit beforehand, trying not to give them too much information so that those thoughts were spontaneous and those reactions were spontaneous. And I'm just thrilled that, you know, everybody really just blossomed once the camera turned on. And, you know, I don't know how much credit I can really take for that because, you know, Casey instilled those memories in those people and they really articulated them beautifully. Emotionally, you know, it ranged from tears to laughter to cringing. And it was such a blessing for a storyteller to be a part of.
At times, did you just hold your breath when they were saying something that you just knew at that moment that you were you know, is the camera working? Please let the camera be working.
Yeah, you knew there was, well, unfortunately, there was a lot of stuff that just couldn't make it film because otherwise you'd have like a 4-hour marathon. So it was hard to whittle it down to 90 minutes and make it an emotional and cohesive story. But you know when someone is speaking, and pretty much from the first, you know, from the jump, it only takes a few words and you know where they're going with it, and you can see it on their face and their eyes, and it just, it's a pretty magical moment.
Yeah. I want to bring Cole into the conversation because your role, Cole, is to sort of portray Casey Tibbs in sort of the cinematic scenes that are woven into some, there's all this archival footage, and, you know, you're not acting as him, but you are still sort of embodying him in some ways. Tell us how you kind of got wrapped into this project and how you were able to sort of see your role.
Justin made it very easy for me. He knew the exact shots he wanted to add to what footage he had of Casey, and so he knew what scenes we needed to do, and he knew exactly the shot that he needed to take, and so having him be able to tell me in great detail what he wanted me to do made it very easy. And just Casey's, you know, the legend of a cowboy, and so being a cowboy is something that was kind of easy just to, it's easy to act like a cowboy, I guess, and that's what you try to live yourself.
And that ties back into Justin, something that is really unfolds in the movie is it when Casey tries to transition into acting, it's harder for him because he's very authentic for who he is, and a lot of the actors just want to be him because they're trying. So you found Cole, who is not really, you know, acting as Casey Tibbs. He is being himself as well, being an authentic saddle bronc rider as part of this film. Talk to us, Justin, a little bit about Cole's role and why you really wanted those scenes. Because I think there's more than one thing going on in those scenes, really.
Yeah, I didn't want to. By the way, hey, Cole. What's up, man?
Hey. Yeah, good. Well, good to hear you from here.
Well, first of all, I wanted someone authentic.
Yeah.
I wanted someone who, in a sense, I could just, you know, let the reins go and say, here you go, do your thing. You know how to handle a saddle, reins, everything. And so I wouldn't have to worry about that. And I knew it would look authentic. But, you know, I asked around who is the up-and-coming bronc rider in South Dakota, and pretty much everybody said Cole Elscher. So right away I reached out to him, and it happened pretty quickly once I started snooping around to find somebody to play it. So, yeah, I just wanted to make it comfortable for him and make it feel like he was in his own setting. And it was funny, some of the stuff, I mean, I did plan out a lot of this, but some of it actually didn't plan out in the final edit the way I was hoping to. And then some of it actually planned out better than I was hoping it was going to. So it's weird how those things sort of fall into place, whether that's luck or, you know, the planning. You know, some people, you know, luck comes with planning and doing it over and over again. But I just couldn't have been happier. I used just about everything that we shot to put in there, and it just blends in beautifully. It sort of just gives it a unique, you mentioned the word mythical. I think It sort of brings him alive today in sort of a mythical, he's silhouetted, he's out of focus, he's just out of reach.
Yeah.
And I didn't know at the time when we sort of started scheduling these things, how much footage of Casey I was actually going to have. And fortunately, a lot of original footage fell into my lap. And even with that, I was like, well, there's no way that I'm not going to use this stuff because it's so cool, and it just adds another layer to the storytelling. And so he did a beautiful job. The footage, you know, blended perfectly into the storytelling, and I think it really added a very powerful voice to the film, especially at the end. You know, there's this sunset silhouette of him, and that's one of my favorite shots of the whole film.
Yeah. And Cole, one of the things that I took away, and I'm not sure if this was Justin's intent too, but because of the way that the film was presented and shot, you know, I have an idea that you're someone too, and I really want to know Cole's story by the end of this as well, and this world that's still happening and how it's, because so much of this show is also about the evolution of rodeo and how it starts out as one sort of shady enterprise and becomes something else today. Tell me a little bit how you sort of see your role in rodeo right now beyond the film as a saddle bronc rider. What, you know, what is the culture like? How would you describe it to other people?
Well, today we actually just flew into Chicago and are driving to Cedar Rapids for a rodeo right now. But we just live and love the cowboy lifestyle. We ranch whenever we have a chance, a day off, it'll be at home and ride horses. And then we love competing and getting on good bucking horses. And so we travel all over the U.S. doing that. We try to go to about 100 a year. So
wow.
We see a lot of different faces and meet a lot of neat people and great committees along the way.
And Justin, so much of what Cole is doing is really part of the legacy of Casey Tibbs as well. And let's dive deeper into that idea of when Casey wanted to join the rodeo. It's a little bit like running off and joining the circus. It wasn't something that his father really wanted him to do. Take us back and tell us a bit of that story, if you would.
Well, you know, if his dad was alive, he'd probably put me in a headlock. because not that he, you know, I think for the time, his thoughts and views of rodeo were correct.
Right.
Now, on film, it may seem harsh in somewhat of a way, and he didn't want his son to be in it, and when he started to dabble in rodeo, he sort of disowned him. And on face value, that may come across as harsh and rude or not very kind, I guess. But for me, and I think a lot of the audience members that watch it, they start to side with them, because at first you're like, wow, why wouldn't you let your kid do it? But then you start to peel back these layers of sort of like how you mentioned rodeo was a little shady. The people working there were a little shady. There was corruption. And his dad knew that.
Yeah.
He knew it firsthand. And he just was trying to protect his son from the sport. I mean, we look at it today, and of course the sport is thriving. You know, you see Cole, you see the NFR, you see all this stuff. It's just hard to put yourself back there, and hopefully that film does it so you can sort of stand next to his father and say, I get it. I get why you're protecting him. But at the same time, it's kind of sad.
Yeah.
That wedge was put in between him and his father, and hopefully both sides are seen on the film.
I thought it had a really realistic or authentic viewpoint, too, because it's also Casey's defiance of his father, which at the time, and in many families today, was also a big part of that conversation, where Casey just, as a rather young kid, went and did what his dad told him exactly not to do.
Yeah. I mean, really, there's nothing different, whether when he was a kid or whether when he was famous. If you were to pull those things to modern times, maybe the situations change a little bit, but it's been going on since, you know, Caesar.
Right.
I mean, the stories just change a little bit. And this was unique because it was, you know, the Western cowboy rodeo angle. And there's just honestly not a lot of those type of films out there that are being produced. Especially if you really get into the rodeo world, there's just not a lot of rodeo documentaries or rodeo films that get produced in a year-to-year basis. So I just thought it was a great way, as you mentioned earlier, to sort of weave in history of rodeo, the history of family, of his family, and see how all these things unfold and what Casey did to, you know, overcome those, to have to make these critical decisions in his life. And it seemed like every step he took, whether good or bad, it was at the exact right moment. So, again, whether it was luck or talent, or right timing, I mean, I don't know how those things happen, but he had the it factor, and it worked for him.
Mm. It's a remarkable film. Tune in for Floating Horses, The Life of Casey Tibbs on SDPB-TV. It's the broadcast premiere on Monday, February 11th, 9 p.m. Central, 8 Mountain. Find them on Facebook, too. If you look up Floating Horses, you can connect there. Justin Kaler and Cole Elsher, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, and thank you for, I'm thrilled that it's the first place that it's shown on PBS, and there's no better place than Casey to be there in South Dakota, so I appreciate your guys' support.
Hey, we are thrilled, too. Thanks so much.